forget doing rebalance presentation. No. Federal grant application request from the Department of Human Services and the grant application of birth defect surveillance program. And Cindy, you want to go ahead? And when Bates come in, then I will go ahead and do a work session.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this, we are here to look at a request for retroactively approve the submission of a Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention population-based birth defects, surveillance programs, and utilization of surveillance data by public health programs grant application from the Department of Human Services.
Who's here representing the Barry?
Madam Chair, Barry Cast, Assistant Director for Health Services. I've asked Donelda Dodson to join us today to talk about this grant and to answer any of your questions, but I wanted to make a couple of comments. The first is that the engine of prevention is really excellence in data and implementation strategies that are proven to be effective. And a number of efforts are already underway with respect to birth defects. As you know, we have an education program about folic acid and the importance of young women taking folic acid and neural tube defect prevention. We've been working on hearing loss, substance use reduction, and now we're embarking on genetics planning that should help reduce the incidence and prevalence of these defects. This grant will add to this by creating a kind of database that will give us better information on which to make decisions. With that, maybe Donelda Dodson can provide the committee with an overview of the grant and then respond to questions. Is that acceptable?
That's fine.
Madam Chair, I'm Donelda Dodson, Administrator for the Office of Family Health. For several years, we have been working with the Centers for Disease Prevention on looking at birth defects and those kinds of conditions within families. We have not applied for birth defects funds in the past because we had not wanted to just do a registry. What we wanted to do was incorporate it into ongoing programs and so that have the birth defects registry come out of the program activities, which is why we refer to this as a passive registry. We wanted to have some components of service delivery and follow-up, feeling that just to watch birth defects and to count the numbers was not sufficient in itself, that we needed to have the program components to do that. The requests for proposals that have now come out of CDC have identified that as a potential, and that is why we are submitting this grant. We've identified the programs that Barry mentioned because we have activities going on in those areas for health promotion, and we see this as an opportunity for us now to start building that infrastructure to be able to get the good data relating to these birth defects and then hopefully eventually to expand that to other birth defects.
How long have you known about this particular grant?
I think that it just came to us about 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago. They're having a fairly short time period on getting out the RFPs.
Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Oregon is a state of 3.5 million people. Would we even have a statistically valid sample to come to any, as you said, very meaningful conclusions about how to make decisions based on such a small population?
Madam Chair, Senator Morris, in our proposal, we've identified that we'll have to do accumulative years to look at the data. That's one of the proposals, is to create a data warehouse where we can collect that information so that we can look at incidents and different incidents over time, because we do know that in some of these areas we have small numbers, especially if we're going to zero down to certain populations or subpopulations. We're very careful that we're not going to compromise those populations by, say, well, we had five in this particular community, because individuals may say, well, we know all five of those. So we will have a data warehouse approach to that so that we can look at the trends over time. If I may, it's similar to what we've done with SIDS. Even though we have a small number of those, we still need to track and to see where those are occurring, the incidences around that, so that we can do better health promotion and education to the population to prevent that.
Representative Bates.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I assume this data is going to go into a bigger database from various states, not just from our state. There's probably a half dozen states going to be involved in the project. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, we will look at our state, but then with CDC, we partner with other states to look at their data in comparison to our data. But we don't put it all together in one pot.
Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I assume that the grant would require then that the CDC wants to report in a way that they can make those comparisons. There's no reason for them to parcel out different states to get data back they can't put together.
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, that's correct. And in fact, over the last few years, we've gotten Fs in birth defects because the people that look after this say your state has not been doing anything to collect the information and to report it.
Last question.
Follow-up.
How many other states are presently collecting data on their birth defects in the state? Are most states doing it? Some states doing it?
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, I couldn't give you the number. I do know that there are several states that are doing that. Our state to the north, Washington, has been doing that, and there are several other states. I could get you that information, but I don't have it.
Madam Chair.
Senator Gordon.
Thank you. Yes, it would be very good to have that information, noting from the information prepared by our analyst, Cindy Jones, that this grant is available to states that do not have a birth defect surveillance program in place. So it would be good to know how we will fit in the scheme of things.
Okay.
Thank you. Any further questions? Senator Morris.
Madam Chair, may I ask a freshman senator question?
You may ask.
Okay, thank you.
Question.
I sense that these grant requests are just part of the process and fairly frequent, not only from your agency but from others. But they seem to be coming with no fiscal impact, no FTE additions. And I guess my question is, if we're bringing in another $100,000 a year, that's roughly another FTE plus expenses, and we're not adding any FTEs, what are these FTEs doing now that all of a sudden they can be shifted into a grant program, which I assume if we're going to spend $100,000 a year, that's pretty much a full-time activity. So it kind of begs the question, when all these grant requests come, what are these people doing presently that are not working on grants?
Let me just Madam Chair, Senator Morse, my understanding is there is a position request in this application and in the budget for the project, but the answer to your question is that we do have a public health system which is driven by dozens of grants, each of which has small components, and we've built the infrastructure of public health brick by brick by adding staff as each grant comes in. And I understand there is some concern about how that staffing structure is built. We try to put the resources into the grant that will make it self-sustaining. If it's a brief grant, it'll be a limited duration kind of arrangement. If it's a long-term grant, it would be a permanent arrangement. And we are looking at our inventory of vacancies now, along with the budget management and legislative fiscal to see what positions are vacant that are no longer needed. But each of these grants is supposedly self-sustaining. And further, some of the functions in this grant have to do with building a database, and those can be contracted. They don't necessarily need to be staffing intensive. And with that, that's a sort of general response, but with respect to this grant, perhaps and Elda can respond more specifically.
Cindy, the requirement for if they should be successful in getting the grant, then they're required to come back for both the position and spending limitation, correct?
Correct. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I was under the understanding there were no positions associated with this grant when I spoke to Bill Coulomb.
There's one.
Was my understanding there were none.
Follow up.
We have a misunderstanding. I regret that.
then I think more than there should be some emphasis placed on the instructions that the agency will return to the legislature or the emergency board prior to any authorization for a position, so that we can take a further look at the need for the position.
Madam Chair?
Senator Gourley.
Thank you. What position would that be? Again, just trying to get some clarity around the $100,000. The money comes in, the money goes where, and then what specific position is tied to the funding?
Okay. Madam Chair, Senator Gourley, it's a position that would help facilitate working with hospitals, birthing center, care providers on setting up systems for collecting this type of data and setting up those systems. We're currently, this grant is really part of a mosaic of collecting surveillance data that's going to be housed within the FamilyNet data system. And we've got legs of this and pieces of it, like we're working with hospitals on early newborn hearing and with metabolic screening. This staff person that we've identified would then help facilitate that team to work with more of the providers, to work with individual providers, with individual entities that come in contact with these families to assure that we set up a good system where we can collect this information. The idea is that this could be self-limited after the grant, is that once we get the system set up and we've got people reporting and knowing how to get this information into us so that we can do the surveillance and the follow-up, then we won't need the person to go out there and do the one-on-one talking with individuals on how to do that.
Can follow up. Thank you, Madam Chair. So again, just to understand, the staff person is already there.
No.
Oh, not already there.
Okay. There are, Chair Winters and Senator Gore, there are staff that are there that are working on other parts of the data system that will be supportive to this, but this individual will go in to help further develop the team so that we can access those providers in a more timely manner.
Representative Smith.
How much thank you. How much will this person make?
About $60,000 a year.
Follow up.
Yes, thank you. Are they on PERS and health benefits? And
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, they would be part of the state system. Yes.
Follow up.
So the employer would have to pay, obviously, the employer's share of PERS and so forth. So there is going to be a cost to our general fund partly for this, and
it's Madam Chair, Representative Smith, that is built into the budget also. The cost for benefits is built into this grant application, as in any indirect cost that would be incurred to oversee this project.
So most of the money for this grant will be going for personnel.
Correct.
And then how and then what percentage of the $100,000 will go for the actual program?
Let me see if I can if I can kind of help a little bit. The $100,000 is total federal funds. There's no general fund match to this.
Okay.
And it's most of it is personnel, because you're talking about someone collecting data and information, and then what percentage of it is service and supplies, because that would be the only other piece.
Besides
personnel.
Yeah, besides our computer, obviously, which is probably already there. I mean, I know I understand that this is labor-intensive.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, if I recall, I can look up those numbers, but it's about, there are maybe 10,000 in, because there's travel to go to CDC and then for supplies, but the rest of that is mostly for maintenance of the staff person and the overhead for related to that.
Just a comment.
Go ahead, Representative Smith.
I would appreciate it, just as a comment on my part, that when these grant application requests come forward, that we have all the information on, for instance, the FTE. We had an understanding there was no FTE. Obviously, it's the FTE is quite important for this grant, or you know, it wouldn't apply. I don't know why we have the communication problem, but I get the impression, whether this is true or not, that whenever we have a grant application, maybe some agencies, I'm not saying you, don't take it near as seriously, and therefore you don't need to try to convince us because, you know, we'll just rubber stamp it and send it on. But Cray and FTE, even though it won, and even with federal funds, and this budget climate is kind of a hot button for us.
Mm-hmm.
So I would appreciate it if we could have more complete information.
Smith is correct, and there seems to be some communication disconnect between what our staff understood and what your understanding. And my question is, what's your timeline for having to submit this? Maybe we need to set this over to allow some further dialogue and communication between the agency and Cindy and LFO. Or is there, what's the urgency?
Yeah. Madam Chair, I'm not certain of what the due date was, but I believe that the application is sent in. If there is no permission to apply, then the application would not have validity, and we would not be returning for limitation.
Madam Chair?
And I do regret the misunderstanding about the position. I believe it's written into the grant, but we did not say anything in our letter about it. I guess that's the mistake.
Actually, Madam Chair, members of the committee, the due date was April the 30th, mm-hmm. and when I went through the grant application with Bill Coulomb, it was my understanding there was no positions that went with this grant, no federal match, or excuse me, general fund match to go with the federal match.
I can't, Madam Chair, I can't explain the discrepancy, and I do apologize for it.
Senator Gordon.
I don't know quite how to address this, but there are a couple of grant applications where we have not had good communication in the department to get the information to the Legislative Fiscal Office and to the committee in a timely manner. I take full responsibility for that, but I want you to know that there's been substantial change in the department just in the past 90 days, and I think some of the systems that we had built that achieved that kind of performance when we were providing these applications to the emergency board, I don't think we missed a single date. Some of those systems seem to have broken down, and we're working to repair them. And I think I made a mention of that in the letter that we drafted from the department to the committee. So we need to do some work on the communication components of these applications.
What's the date that you will have information from the federal, from CDC as to when they will approve the request?
Madam Chair, I'll have to check on that. I think it's July, but I would have to double check on that.
So it's pretty imminent.
Correct.
And what kind of indication have you received from CDC as to favorable or unfavorable that they're looking at Oregon?
Chair Winters, over the last 3 years, we have been in dialogue with CDC about these needs that we have in Oregon, and we have been talking with them. And even asking them for resources. So from that perspective, they did respond to us saying that this RFP was coming out and encouraged us to apply. So that's as much of encouragement that we've had. They do like the system that we're building and have said that to us, so we feel encouraged.
Senator Gordley, did you have a question?
Yeah, just again, could the proposal be carried out without additional staff?
Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, we will be able to do pieces of it. It would just not be done in as an efficient or as a timely way.
And let me tell you why I asked the question, Madam Chair. Looking at the size of the grant, which is $500,000 over the 5 years, and then given what you've said about the salary that would be paid to the individual staffing this project, we're looking at $300,000 going to a staff position. And I'm frankly troubled by that. I think you hear what I'm saying. I'm troubled by that amount of money coming in and going to that purpose. I just don't understand it.
Yeah. Madam Chair, Senator Gordley, part of that is because for us to engage the medical community, the health community, we need to have somebody that can engage them and talk with them and help them understand how they can participate in these activities. It's more of a learning and setting up the system, and that's what that individual would be used for.
Okay. I won't beat a dead horse, but I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair.
Representative Bates.
Well, since it's the medical community's fault, I'll step up here. I think we've got two problems in this grant. First is you haven't carefully explained what the money goes for and where it's going, and that's a communication problem, I hope, mm-hmm. primarily. I know a little bit about how we go about gathering data, and I have a perception of how difficult it is to bring all this information together. You basically mm-hmm. have a situation where the first cut at congenital abnormalities is at the birth certificate that is filled out by, five, six, 700,000 physicians across the state and actually done in haste in the middle of the night and done poorly. Okay, so you've got to get that down. Do we have mm-hmm. an extra finger? Do we have an extra toe? Do we have webbing? Do we have kidney abnormality, whatever? Secondly, you have metabolic problems, which won't show up usually for about 10 days. Mm-hmm. That's tracked by somebody other than the physician. Usually it's tracked by a different division. Thirdly, you have late effects, cerebral palsy, internal problems a child might have that you're not even aware of for the first year of life. So you can bring all these elements together and come up with something that makes sense as far as tracking congenital defects. I would suggest that when you have a complex situation like this in the future, you explain that to the legislators here. Then you have an understanding of what the concept you're trying to do is. You're trying to set up a system which, when this program's over with and ends, that you will not be stuck with another FTE. We won't be stuck with another FTE. Okay. You'll have a system that will function on its own. I haven't heard that clearly from you yet. We're all friends here, but I think it's a communication problem and clearly laying out what your goals are and where you're going to be. And whether that FTE you're going to hire is going to be temporary or something, we're going to pick up in two biennials when all of us aren't here, don't remember, and we just have a burgeoning and growing bureaucracy, which we don't want. Now, having said all that, I'll tell you I'm still much in support of this, but I think that a concept of what you're doing, what it means as far as where you want to go, and how you're going to end the program with a continuing program which you have available now is the key issues you have to bring to us.
I think that the members, I hear a number of questions and concerns, and what I would like to do is to for you to respond to some of those concerns, and that we bring this back so that members have some sense of, one, what you're proposing to do, two, to address the issue of the position and what that position will or will not be doing, and what your long-term outcomes or your objectives will be, and the questions that were raised today. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
If that doesn't have any negative impact on where you are within the federal system.
Very minor point. If the term surveillance is not driven by the federal government, but it's a creation of Oregon, I would suggest we change that, because you're outreaching to hospitals, physicians, mm-hmm. and just the very term surveillance does not have a good connotation. There may be a better word to describe this program when you go public with it.
I think data collection would probably be more. So if it's the will of this body, does anyone object to that approach? I think that the information that was requested today from members, that gives this body a better sense of what you're proposing to do and why, and then we can present it to full. And so Cindy can reschedule, communicate with you, Barry, and reschedule for for a hearing and a work session.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Do we have a rebalance presentation? No. Oh, well, with that, I think if there's no further business today, we are adjourned.
Thank you.